It's time that we should begin. We welcome you to this regular meeting of the Central Iron County Water Conservancy District. It is the 16th of July, 2020. We don't know of anyone who's joining us electronically, but if they are, welcome.
This'll show you who you've got on. So we've just got Kelly Crane who's listening in.
Kelly, good. Welcome, Kelly. All right, I've asked Tracy if he would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and Spencer agreed to offer an invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you really know that Kelly stood up? Do we know that Kelly stood up?
Our Father in heaven, we bow our heads at this time and are very grateful unto thee for this day and for the opportunity to live here. We're grateful for the health in which we enjoy, and we ask that we might be able to continue to stay healthy. And we're grateful for the work that the staff and those that work here within the Water District, for the time in which that they spend and the passion that they spend to make sure that we have the adequate resources of water and planning for the future. We ask at this time specifically that we will be blessed with water and adequate rain here in the near future. We are grateful for this country and for all of the great things that are happening here, and we ask that our freedom and liberty will be preserved and protected. And we ask for these blessings, and we give thanks, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Tracy and Spencer. All right, the first item on our agenda is a declaration of abstentions or conflicts of interest. If there's anything foreseen by anyone? If not, then we'll consider approval of the minutes from the board meeting held the 18th of June. Do you have any?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for June 18th, 2020.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion about the minutes? All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. All right, now we'll move to our financial report.
You're never here on time to know if it starts on time.
Mandy, we'll turn the time to you to run over the payment of bills for the last 30 days.
Perfect. All right, so if you'll go to the invoice register, on the first page, just a couple of highlights there. We had our semi-annual ordering of utility billing cardstock. Not big, but it does happen a couple of times a year. Down closer to the bottom of the page, we paid for the heavy truck, the 3500 diesel, and just got to pick that up today, I believe. Jeff already got it dirty, so. on the second page, there's a payment to Discount Cell. That was for a new router out in Checkshawnee for the SCADA system. We're hoping that works better than the repeater that we had prior to that, right?
Oh, it's beautiful.
So good. On page 4, there's a payment made to Jocelyn Communications. He's our IT guy, and that was for coming out to set up that new router. Page 6, you'll notice a large payment made to State Bank of Southern Utah. That was the final payment on the 2008 Capital Lease water purchase bond that we have. So that's one that's paid in full. And then a payment just underneath it to the Spectrum. Those were for the public postings for the public hearing for Checkshawnee Cliffs. Page 7, the payment to Transcon Environmental. And those were all the highlights I had in the invoice register, unless you guys had questions for me.
So the Transcon bill, that was for 1 month? For like a 618 invoice?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't bill every single month, but that was one bill for the work done in May and a portion of April, I believe.
Is that their headquarters in Mesa?
Yes.
Mesa, Arizona?
I think that's where their billing department is. Their main headquarters, I believe, is in San Francisco, or pretty close to there, suburb of San Francisco.
I have a cousin there, did have, who lived on Alma School Road.
Is that right?
That's why I noticed that.
Is that a water lease purchase? Is that a bond paid off? Is that what that is?
Correct.
Yes.
So the annual payment per year was $230,000?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, we talked about that when we were reviewing different bonds, when they'd expire. And that's when the board told us to move forward to see if we could get some funding to drill another well, put in a tank, and also work on an interconnection between the district and Cedar City. So we're still in the process of that, but we would, the way the numbers were kind of looking at then, we'd be able to have a similar payment, $250,000 per year to do a large project like that. What was it, Curtis, you remember, is around a $10 million capital infrastructure project is what we were looking at doing?
Well, it's great any time you can pay a, get rid of one bond before you get another one.
So we'll, obviously we're still in some planning process and also funding with the USDA, working on getting funding for that.
All right, then we need to have a motion to approve the payment of those bills. Would somebody like to make that motion?
Make a motion to approve the payment of bills and adjustments for June 12th, 2020.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Mandy, go ahead.
Just a couple of notes on the transaction register. We had a couple of customers who had some substantial leaks and got those fixed, so we were able to give them the weekly credit where they're still charged for all the gallons that they're used. We just reduce it, a courtesy reduction to the lowest tier. Just for taking care of those leaks. The others were just some paperless billing credits. Jess has been doing an amazing job sending out the welcome letters to our new customers, and she's included a letter that invites them to sign up for that paperless billing option and credit, and she's getting a great response from them. So there's been quite a few more lately. And I think that's it, unless you guys have questions on that.
Okay. If not, I'll roll into, do we need an approval on that, or did you already get it? Got it? Okay.
We got that, yeah.
I'll go into the budget, then page number one of the budget, operational budget. There's a couple of things that are highlighted, but before we get into those highlights, I just wanted to make note of the top line there of water revenue. It's tracking behind a little bit, but that's typical for this time of year, especially for how dry it is. We probably expect to exceed that quite a bit with the amount of water usage that we've been seeing. So we'll see those catch up into October and exceed our budget. So we anticipate that.
I haven't paid my monthly bill yet, Paul. So when I do, I'm sure it'll bring it back up.
It's pretty typical for Tom to not
well,
be
I feel better
so
about it.
We've just sent him threatening letters occasionally.
Have to bond to pay my water bill.
So then on down to some of those that are highlighted, just keep a note, again, we're 58% through the year. Some of them are fairly close to where we're at, but on the fuel and equipment, that's a little bit higher, primarily because we ran the pumps a little bit more out at Quitchapod, and we are running another pump currently in Quitchapod to pump water from the north end to the south end to so that we'll be able to get in there and build a dike later this fall. We did get word from the state of Utah that they, through their budget cuts, we still received the full $250,000 to work on our Quitchapod project out there. So we've got $250,000 grant that we'll put towards that.
Good.
Any questions on that?
When are you going to start on that then?
So we've started pumping. We're going to start when these guys get a free minute, we're going to work on the design of building the actual structure. What we're going to do is the canal that goes over to the Lazy River. right there where we had the bypass, and Paul was a big part of that when we dug the bypass, and then the water went down into what we call the duck pond area. Kind of that natural area, we're going to put in a diversion right there that'll act more like a spillway. So it'll be able to take large volumes of water there on that north end. It'll go into that duck pond area, and then it'll spill over into the lake. And then we'll build a canal or a dike from the lake over to the Lazy River and pump it up into the Lazy River. So we're going to start initially with that diversion, put in that diversion. That'll just be, so the way it works is in the bottom of the ditch, we'll have a culvert with a head gate. And so when it's shut, it'll back up the water a little bit to where it spills over, and it'll be a long spillway so that we can take a lot of volume. It'll spill over and go down into that duck pond. And then the head gate itself, we know what we can manage down below, so we'll design it. Currently, all we can pump is 5 CFS. We'll put it in big enough so it'll be 10 or so, 10 CFS. So in the future, if there's other pivots or something like that that come on, we could do that, but that's how we'll operate the canal right there with that diversion.
Now you're not planning on trying to run the summer flash floods in there, are you?
No, nope. So we'll still operate it the same way, where we'll be able to lower the head gate. The summer flash floods, we'll build our dike for Quitchapaw on the north side of the inlet of Quitchapaw Lake.
Good.
Yeah. So we can drop the floodgate, and the floods will go to the south.
Go in the south. That stuff is worthless water.
So that's a little bit higher than the next one down, professional and technical. And we'll probably see this continue to increase for a couple of reasons. That's mainly our engineering fees. But they have held off on quite a few of their things, waiting to see what grants we would get. And they're going to get paid out of this line, but it's based on those grants that we received. So you'll see the grants that will come in down below, but they won't be removed from the professional technical fee line that is there. So
okay.
That will continue to increase, and probably it may exceed some of the projections that are there. But down below on the grants line that's there, you can see the federal grants that's highlighted. Currently to date, $40,000 is what we've received. So that will be closer to $500,000. That's the Cedar Highlands project that will be in that grant line that we didn't budget for because we weren't sure if we were going to get. And then up above that, you can see in the state grants, we received $250,000. That was the grant money that we received from the state of Utah for our EIS, so the West Desert project. There's another $40,000 grant that Curtis was able to get for our new master plan. So that will go into that, as well as an additional $250,000 from, again, the state for the water optimization grant. So those are the total amounts of the grants that we'll likely receive this year. Well, take that back. We may receive some of the $250,000 grant from the state. It depends on how far that project goes within our budget year, but it'll definitely be expended within the states, which is a July 1 year. So, any questions on the operational side of the budget? Flip over to the capital side. Just one thing to note there, as Mandy mentioned, the truck is in, and we also did get a trailer, which is in that budget line as well. So that's what's highlighted on that side, and nothing glaring or unusual there. So then the other side of that, we just got our balance sheet currently where we're at. Cash and checking in our PTIF accounts at the top there. And then, of course, through that, we have our property and then our loans at the end there. So any other questions on anything financial-wise with the district?
All right, very good. If there's no more discussion about the financials, let's go to item number five, to consider the resolution to create an assessment area for this Chickshawnee Cliffs area.
So that's a little premature on the consideration. The resolution will actually have to consider that. We'll have to hold a meeting on July 30th. And what we plan to do is just do a Zoom meeting where we can just log in for wherever. But the date for protests is actually, it's over the weekend. And so we're going to wait till Monday to actually tally all of the protests, all the written protests for the assessment area for Chickshawnee Cliffs. And then once we have that, we'll tally it, have the numbers. And then on July 30th is what we had advertised on our public notice of when we would hold that meeting. So
that's for our board here.
That's for our board, but we'll just do it electronically.
Okay.
Or you can come to the district office. I'll actually be out of town, so I'll be attending it electronically as well.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday.
So that's what, 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from today, yeah.
Okay.
And so at that point, that's where we would adopt this ordinance, pending we don't receive, how many was
40%.
It? 40%, but I'm trying to remember if it was over 20, I think, or 20.
66 or 72.
70, I think there were 70 total lots. 71 with.
So 40% of that's
28.
Times 4, 28.
28. We haven't received any.
So
it's, we're pretty confident that's going to go forward. So, in fact, we can table that and we can move right into the Chickshawnee Cliffs if that's what you guys want to do.
Well, we're we can do that if we. Item number six is an item for public comment. Does anybody want to publicly comment? Commissioner, do you have anything to comment?
We're just out in public comment.
You talked about the Quitchapaw being called and the version we put in.
The at Quitchapaw Creek. I have not. Yeah, we've not yet talked about it.
Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
We got that diversion structure put in out there at Quitchapaw Creek. It was kind of the tail end of the runoff. We got a head gate put in. It looks really good. We got a nice dam built, a lot of riprap. And so, and then we built, we were able to go across that city water line. We had enough drop. I think we had like a 0.5% grade. So we was able to cover the city water line with 3 feet of material. And we waterfalled off and then went down and did a couple drop-offs and then down in the gravel pit. But granted, that a lot of that water was being recharged anyway along the way down, but we feel like the gravel pit's going to be a more efficient way to recharge. In that one spot, it's probably going to have a lot less evaporation.
So yeah.
It's all done. It's, I think it's going to be good. So, I know the city did a study years ago, and I think they kit, I think Bowen Collins said about 2,800 acre feet a year comes out of that canyon. And so, not quite sure. It seemed to perk good. Not sure how much it'll hold when we have a high year.
At the north end of the runway, they built them retention basins. Is that part of that? That's just retention off the airport?
I don't know much about
that. I think that was... There's, do you know, does Raymond talk to you about that, Tracy, about those pits?
Three big retention basins.
I don't know what... maybe Terry knows what the city was up to. I know they had to do that as part of their share of the contribution to the... You know, they were what we used to call the Bauer Ponds. They were an irrigation company, and they ran their water in there and settled it out, and then ran it down a ditch down 2300.
Down north?
North.
I think they were just redoing them.
So they were just basically redoing them, but I don't know that anybody's ever going to use them.
Well,
Yeah, I'm not sure on that either, but that was part of the agreement.
I remember Joe Melling talking about them.
He might.
About having them there and people using them.
They look pretty right now.
Boy, they did a great job. They're fantastic.
Who did it?
The city.
The city.
They self-performed it.
They did the whole thing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, yeah, it's so, like I say, as a practical matter, I don't know who's going to use it. There's that cement ditch to go right down there, but
that's not the only
everybody thing. Uses sprinklers nowadays, so I doubt whether anybody will be able to use it unless they can pond the whole, store the water and put it into their irrigation system. So, anyway. All right, then, if there
I'll
is...
just mention real quick on that same note that Paul was talking about with the Quitchapa Creek stuff. We were approached by Steve Platt to help put in or help do work on the applications for a permanent right-of-way through CITLA. And so I went and talked to him, and we told him we'd be willing to do with that. He said he'd be willing to help us on our actual Quitchapa Lake project of building the dike and supplying his equipment out there to help with that. So we thought that was a pretty favorable extension from the county to help us out.
I didn't understand that permit we got from CITLA from Ron Torgerson was just a year. I thought it was permanent, but it's not. We've got to show them a map, and I guess it's not.
So it is going to be a perpetual improvement then?
Yeah, Curtis, you've been working on that.
It's a fairly simple application. They had to go out and survey, and luckily Platt already had a survey, but it is, you have to write a letter summary of what the use is for, and then provide an exhibit and to show that it's been surveyed and submitted. I think it's a $750 one-time application fee. So it's, you've got a letter, I think, pretty well written. I'm just finishing the exhibit and it's done.
But we'll get $750 back out of the county with their equipment pretty quick. Just in mobilization.
Okay, well, that's exciting. Sounds good. All right, let's go ahead and talk the district infrastructure improvements to continue our discussion about Chickasawney Cliffs. We're ready to drill a well, or Bob Holt, you said, is drilling the well, and then we're going to inherit it. Is that how that works?
Yeah, we'll purchase it. He's in the process of that now. He's got pipe and a few things. There's, I had a presentation there, Curtis. I wanted to walk through some of the things we're looking at. Is anybody else online? Would they want to, do you need to share your screen, or is it just Kelly?
Paul, who's the
That's
driller?
Right. Huh?
Who's the driller?
I believe that Anzalone is who he's having drill it.
You know how they're drilling it? They're doing a reverse circulation or mud, or do you know how they're doing it?
I know on the one that he did next to it was mud. So.
Because that could have a very big difference on the production.
Yeah.
At least the initial probably 5-year production of it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like Kelly was trying to say something, like maybe answer that question.
Can you say that again, Kelly?
I was just going to say, I can see the screen just fine.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, just move those along, Curtis. So, again, this is the project. You can see where the existing well is. So what the plan is to go where the existing well is, further west to where there's better water. And then we've analyzed the area down there with a well dowser, as well as this primary water technology folks that have come in and done the gamma and the seismic. So let's go on there, Curtis. That pin there is the Holt well, you can see, and then down in the area, basically where those trees are to the south is the area we had them look at. So move on. This is basically the type of data that was done by Primary Water. They every 10 meters they would run a little cross section. You can see the next picture here. On the left, those are all the points that they took, and then they're able to generate this gamma area of or a surface of what they potentially think it looks like down below. And so what they're looking for is areas that are blue, and he's looked at these maps long enough that I guess he thinks that he can tell us where the water is. But the zone that he that really piqued his interest was that blue kind of circle area in the top right corner. So that's kind of what we're focusing on when I talk through the rest of these. And he did walk through Holt's Well as well. So if we move on again, this is what he found when he walked over Bob Holt's Well. So once you look at the passive seismic, which is this stuff here on the left, he's looking then on this for red and peak zones. So 150 meters, right around 500 feet, is where he would expect to see water. And so I pulled the well log today, which is the next slide there, Curtis. And you can see there from 490 to 540 that drilling really slowed. And there was gravel and cobbles and boulders. And one thing that that they mentioned, that Mark Burr mentioned, is that once you start getting into some of these zones, initially it gets really tough. So I thought that was interesting that the...
I don't know if I've ever seen a well log where they'll say drilling slowed. I mean, usually they'll call out what the...
tailings.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a good lift log of what...
But you can tell just by reading.
They lost circulation. I mean, there could be a number of reasons why the drilling's got slower.
Yeah. You can see by reading the drill log that you don't even need to look at the bottom where it shows the water level. Just look on the log. When he got to 66 feet, he got into rock and sand, and that's right where the water is.
Yeah. So we feel pretty confident that we're going to get water within the general area, and we know that sand is going to be the biggest issue. And so the way that we've designed what we're going to do is go in with a 36-inch hole?
Yes.
Yeah, 12-inch. So we're going to do a 36-inch hole and a 12-inch casing. So we'll do a very large hole with a lot of gravel pack around it to try and mitigate the sand. So that's the theory behind it. So the next one there, you can see he went down to 1,000 feet and a lot of similar stratas all the way down. So we had, as they went out there and they were identifying these different areas, we had primary water come out first, and then we just put a rock where his was, and then we brought in a dowser to come in and locate a couple of areas. And that number one was the dowsers, two and three, those are the dowsers. Dilworth was the dowser. But that number one, he said, was the best production. And so now as we move through some of these, it's kind of interesting how it coincides. But Tracy was out there with Dilworth when he did this. There was, this was a comment by Mark Burr. This is Grandma Grid of Northfield target zone with red dashed lines showing fault or fracture zone revealed by the passive seismic. So I don't know how he's able to identify that, but somehow he thinks that he's able to locate some type of fractures or faults. But stay there just for a second. But kind of simultaneously, when Tracy was out there with Dilworth, that bottom fractured line, When Dilworth would walk across it, his sticks would flip up in the air. And so he said he told Tracy only two times that's happened with him.
It's pretty wild.
So
it's pretty cool.
He'd walk across it, flip up, and go down. He said, there's something funky going on here. He called it a shelf. He said, I think there might be a shelf or something here.
Probably a power line.
I hope so. That means power will be a little closer to us. But anyway, you know, not knowing what either, you know, not seeing a report or anything, it was kind of ironic that they had this line there. So now we can move on a little bit here, Curtis. Again, this is the surface area, and you can see where that Dilworth number one hit is in an area that's pretty hot. That purple is the area that you'd want to be probably the most. That signifies one of the better areas.
It looks like, according to that picture right there, blue is where the water is expected to be at. That blue is where the Dilworth well is?
Correct.
It's
proposed.
It's downhill. It's in the bottom.
No, it's pretty flat.
Compared to where the proposed well is, they're about the same elevation across
yeah,
there?
Pretty close. Okay. Yeah,
they're
I mean...
only, they're only 50 feet apart.
50, yeah, 50 feet apart, but I would say, man, if there's any grade at all, it's...
Very, very
that
minimal.
That doesn't actually mean what's underground is the same.
Yeah,
like
and I'll show...
formation, but...
Yeah, and we'll see in a second how they're looking down into the ground to generate this. So it's interesting... the proposed well from primary water, we'll see in a second why it was where it's at, but we had questions about that, and luckily Enid was using these same guys, and so they were in town. We had them come out and go outside again, and they discussed things with us. So if we go to the next couple slides, I'll try and explain it. These are zoomed out, and we'll look at them a little bit closer, but you can see he's taken these cross sections. So starting on the left, it's the left-hand side, and then the middle cross-sect there, and then the one on the far right. So the reason why they selected, or why he selected that area that wasn't in the blue as the number one, or as his best area, is because of this zone right here, which goes from 500 feet all the way down to basically 1,000 feet. So it's really deep water, and it's along that kind of fractured area. So that's why he initially said, I think that you guys should drill there. And it wasn't in, like if you go back a slide, Curtis, you know, the proposed well's here in the yellow. This is where the blue zone is. And now go forward again. So that proposed well is showing up right here in this section. So if you go forward again, when he came back, he did a cross-section knowing now where Dilworth's initial, or where Dilworth's stake was there and where his previous stake was. He wanted to see what came up again. So if you go forward, this is what it shows where, this is Dilworth's stake basically. So at 120 meters down to 180 meters, there's a significant zone there. This is just zoomed in on that area where he figures that there's low resistivity where water would be. So the next slide, this is just comparing the two. And basically you've got the Dowser's area here, which he says is good, and then this was here. So then on to his recommendation, I think is the next one. You can go forward again. So this is, he kind of changed his tune a little bit. He said at this point I would go with the blue stake or Dilworth's number one, or even move it about 20 feet to the west to the lowest gamma in the center of that zone. So that's where he provided the GPS location, which is in the heart of that purple area. Recommendation is for a small borehole. So what he suggests doing is do a small borehole at that number two location, the proposed primary water number two, down to 400 feet and run a pump test, check the water quality, check the static level to gauge the pressure, and then make a decision to bore out the 12-inch or more. The initial stake appears, which would be Dilworth number one. The initial stake, that's his initial stake, so the primary water number one. Appears to be more prospective for connectivity to deeper production zones and more directly over a fault, as judging by the profile as well as the number bioindicators. So he suggests that you can kind of see on that image where it says proposed well, primary water, the number one. There's a lot of cheatgrass as well as some scotch thistle and dead sagebrush. And he suggests that those are, as he's been around the world, those are indications where these radiometrics kill plants. too much of a simple farm boy to understand that, so.
It's like Area 51.
Yeah, I guess so. So those are some things we're going to continue to analyze, but of course there's experts here that have drilled a lot of wells. So I wanted to bring it to the board and provide the information that we have and maybe some thoughts or suggestions or thoughts on what recommendations we've been given here by those that have tried to look under the ground.
I mean, it seems to me that, you know, that it would make sense. It might not hurt to get Dilworth back out there and to have him double check exactly where the PWT number two is, you know, having spend maybe a little bit more time there, but, you know, where he's talking about, you know, doing an initial bore and then come back with 12 inch later. I mean, my thought would be, you know, I don't know what if he said like what size the initial bore is, but, you know, 4 is maybe a little too small, but if we were to do like a 6 inch, I would think that if it's what he's saying that it is, that we can forecast within like a 90 to 95% accuracy, if not higher, of what it will do with a much bigger hole based on the 6, based on the static, the drawdown and the recovery off of the 6. You know, then that way we're not spending too much more money.
Yeah.
You know, we're either going to cut bait or
and they, can they, will they be able to do that without, they'll do that testing without casing it, right? Will they have to case it?
They need to case it, because you start testing it, you'll collapse the well if you start pumping it hard without casing in it.
You might be able to do possibly a plastic casing, as long as the plan was, is you're going to go with something bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a few drillers that will do 12-inch or a 6-inch, up to 6-inch with plastic, mm-hmm. and then that way you can see what it is, and then just come in and do something bigger as a completion later. And that probably wouldn't be too crazy expensive, you know, to do it in plastic.
Yeah. So, one, I mean, that's definitely something we could consider and look at. One concern that I have is I really like the water quality we're seeing out of Bob Holt's well. It's continually around 400 TDS, maybe a little bit above 450, right, Tracy?
It's been anywhere from 370 to 450.
So it's in a good range. This water, if we go back and look at those charts, Curtis, go back. Yeah, the comparison there. It seems like between that primary water number one, it was about the same elevation starting with water, or with maybe a majority of the water that Bob Holt was receiving, as what we might receive in that primary water number one. In other words, is it the deeper water that is better quality than the shallow water, which
in my mind,
but in this instance nothing's made sense and down there except for most of the wells are not deeper than 1,000 feet in that area, and everything along that whole eastern bench has been pretty high TDS.
What about going through that aquifer down, going even deeper?
So we have ordered the 12-inch casing already, and we have ordered 500 feet of casing and 500 feet of screen. So we were anticipating casing the top 500 feet. Of course, if we had a zone, we could always throw in a section of screen or whatever. But it's on its way. And we had anticipated, kind of just looking at Bob's well logs, that that's maybe what we'd want to do. So that's the only thing that causes me to pause a little bit about if this zone that's a little bit higher how it's, what type of water it is and where it's coming from. You know, it could be tied into some of those waters that are up by the Czechshawnee specifically. You know, even Camp Creek that's coming out of Czechshawnee, it's about 1,000 TDS, so it's really high with that surface water.
I mean, I guess, and I'm not saying we do this, but I mean, I guess you could, you go down and you could drill down there and then put a gear head on it down to, you know, whatever that shallower stuff is, and then take some samples, and then, you know, you'd have a lot of pump time, you know, pulling back out and then going back in, you know, with a bit, but then that way you're not dealing with the cascading issue of mixing the water and see if you want to go deeper, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a way to try it.
Well, what does the board think? Should I, we can talk to the guy who we're that's working on drilling the wells, and we could see what, get a price on doing a test well. Is that what the board wants to take a look at? Get a price and see.
When you start drawing that down, Curtis, what are you going to use for a test well or to monitor the water level? Are you going to be able to check that other well right there and watch it?
The Bob Hole well?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk with him and see if we can either, I'm certain he's probably got some capacity. Do you know if he's got a trip pipe or anything that we can drop a transducer in or a tape down in?
I think he's got a cap on there.
Something there. So we can probably manually go drop a tape down it.
Yeah.
That way, and then we just
well, he should have tubes going down. Well, sure. Should have tubes. Sure. Going down into the beside the gravel pack, trimming tubes.
Oh. So, but there should be a way, but he's got a cap on the top of the casing.
I'll check.
Manually test or something.
So, are we saying get a price for a 6-inch? Is that what we're saying, or do we want to get a price for a six? Why we're doing it? Get a price for both. Get a price for 6, and then also get one whatever. We're looking at a completion, whether it's 12 or 16 or whatever. I think it'd be good if we are going to get a price for both, because I think we'd get a better competitive price than get a price for 6 and then later get a price for, you know, 12 or 16. And just let him know we may not do the bigger completion.
You thinking of the 16, the final, or a 12?
I think a 16's a good size. I mean,
yeah,
you how much water out. You
and
want
there's not
to
a
get
big
out.
Difference in price between the 12 and 16.
We know
2,000 gallons.
We can.
I mean, but what is our need? Our need's like what, 70 gallons a minute?
How much?
Right now, existing.
Around 70 gallons a minute.
Yeah, our pump right now, when the other well hasn't got it drawn down, that's next to us, is about anywhere from 120 to 170 gallons per minute. So we're not looking for a huge.
So you can do that easy with a 12-inch casing.
Oh, yes.
Well, an 8 will run 900. So.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be huge, but obviously, you know, being the district, we want to put things, if we're going to be there, and then other
well,
people are going
to
be there.
It's easier
in the
to do it once the right way than several times over and over again, bigger and bigger and bigger. And the. I like what Curtis was saying, but the large hole and the gravel pack, you know, that produces, that gets you a lot more water into that casing than just a little bit of gravel pack.
Yeah, that's definitely something that was highly recommended by some of the well drillers been out there. Bob Holt really has thought that, as well as Kelly and Curtis and design of the well.
So, what do you want us to make a decision?
Well, I can do that from getting a price and sending you guys an email on what we think.
So are we looking at a 6 and 12 or 6 and 16? What direction we want to give Paul?
I think the casing might already be ordered for the 12.
Oh, okay.
And on its way, but I can check on that.
Okay.
Well, if we're only want a couple hundred gallons a minute, that
yeah, 12 plenty. I mean, if that's smaller demand. So.
The other thing that the seller has agreed on that well is if the water quality doesn't meet what we need, he'd be willing to trade wells. So he's pretty amenable.
That's good.
We'd have to retrofit his a little bit and put in a after-the-fact surface sill, but I think he's got a 16. Do you know what size casing? I think it's a 16.
It's
a
good size, yeah.
Might even be bigger than that, but...
He just got a 30-foot sill or something?
Yeah, all he did was a 30. Which, when we originally talked to him, we told him
I thought he was going to do 100, I thought.
He was going to do it on all of them, but...
Yeah.
Huh. After probably the 15th, he decided that wasn't... Well, I'm just glad that he went and tested the whole valley for us first before we had to explore any of those.
Well, we've been beneficiaries of a whole lot of other people's money, so I guess it's about time for us to step up to the plate and gamble, too. It's sure a lot safer to go to Las Vegas, though. Okay, let's. Is there any more discussion on Checkshawnee Cliffs? Let's move. Let's move on to Cedar Highlands.
But there's a lot more shipments when they do it.
When they come together.
Yeah. That's even better. Okay, so, yeah, we've been pretty busy with all of these projects the last month. Cedar Highlands, we found some pretty good sources. Curtis, do you want to give us a little update on currently where we're at on Cedar Highlands project? You or Tracy could.
I'll speak in Berlin. So we had John Orton go up and they did some exploratory digging. We had our original trenching, he kind of looked at it. He went through and dug one and kind of ran. It started, if you've been up there, it kind of started on the north side of the property and looped around. And we found a pretty good little spot that was bubbling up, probably around 7 gallons a minute, maybe, say, maybe a little more. I felt really confident in that, but then looking at it, there were some other bushes and things that we felt there might be another vein that we could hit. So we pushed him up higher. We dug up a little bit more on the south end of the property, just behind the tank. And there was an area there, but it wasn't as favorable. So we went back down, and then now they've kind of lengthened out that entire area more towards the tank. And it seems that there's some good water veins and things that we could hit in that area. He kind of dug it out and just filled up a little reservoir and a pond so we could see how quick it would fill. But since then, they've been excavating and moving forward on that. They've been calling us about getting the liner in place and doing the gravel pack and everything, the gravel placement things. But things are moving along, and we feel pretty confident with some of the water we found. Anything else?
Yeah, they're setting the liner. Yes, started yesterday, setting the liner, and they're already putting the gravel pack in. So it looks like it's going to be a dandy.
So good, obviously good. We don't have a meter on any of it, but kind of best guess, we were saying 7 gallons a minute, which is about 10,000 gallons per day. How big are the tanks up there?
130,000
piece. 130,000. So less than a tenth per day that we put into that. But that adds up. So, and that's just on one little section. There's that. And they're going to go down to lower spring areas and capture some more.
Right now we have springs 1 and 1A. And 7, 8, and 9, and those combined are running at about 25 gallons a minute. And so we're pretty tickled pink over this one area doing 7. So it's pretty exciting.
So how long have the trenches been sitting for the capillaries to open up?
We dug them 3 weeks ago. Is that about right? 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks.
Well, that's encouraging. Good.
And then our ace in the hole is we still got a filtration system for the well up there that if we need to, we can kick on the well. So
good. And it's in place.
It's in place, yeah.
Oh, good.
What do we need to satisfy up there? How many gallons per minute? We know?
How many connections are
built out? Well, right now we're overflowing the tanks. Intermittently, just depending on the time of day.
So we're easily meeting the needs of the subdivision without ever turning the well on.
Yeah, and if we were to, I mean, you're talking 25 gallons a minute, and that's high. I mean, that's when the lower springs filled up and pumping up to the upper spring, and both of them are filling the tank. We're up around 25 gallons a minute, but if you kick that filtration system on, you've got another almost 60 gallons a minute coming through that filtration system. And the water quality is not what we would like it to be, as far as the spring water is concerned, but I think the two mixed together would just be fantastic. So what we've been able to accomplish with this last year and right now is pretty awesome for that subdivision up there. And the, you know, I mean, build out, we're a long ways away from build out up there.
How many houses, how many connections are up there?
There's 87.
Andy, do you know?
I think 87.
I drove up there the other day. I was just kind of curious.
That's over 100.
I think we've got 87 connections.
87 total connections? Total build out?
Total lots.
Total, 87 homes.
That's homes built right now.
What's
how many? Is there 150 lots?
That's what I'm thinking.
150 lots.
So we're just over half right now.
They need any fire for us.
Okay, very good. What's going on out the west, Sunset Subdivision?
So out at Sunset, I've went and stopped and visited with Tyler Romerall, and I've given them our draft of an agreement for them to see if they'll do an emergency connection with us. So they're just scratching it up now and get it back to us. But
okay,
there's another part too, that there's a entity that's out there called Henry's Place that's across the street, and they've been connected to the system. But their contract expires once the subdivision, it's with the subdivision, of course, but once the subdivision is 70% built out, then their contract expires. They said they won't deliver them water anymore. So they came to us to see if we would. We're preliminary looking at it, but it's it seems a little bit risky at this point because they have big plans. They want to do lodges and lots of things. And he said the PSI that's currently being delivered there is about 20.
This is Sunset?
So on at Sunset, it's
across the road.
It's Henry's Place.
It's right across there. The road from the subdivision. It's called Henry's Place.
Okay. Where is it? I'm confused.
You can pull up a map,
is that
Curtis.
Like non-profit thing or whatever?
This is Henry's Place. Place is the named after, I remember his first name, Henry. It was the first police officer killed in Las Vegas in the last 20 years. And he was shot and killed, and so it's a nonprofit organization. He was apparently a troubled youth kid, got into one of these campground things, not a troubled youth program, but where they went, kind of a Boy Scout camp type thing. And I think that's kind of what their goal is. They're raising funds to bring in youth, not troubled youth, just youth that they can do a scout, like a 3-day adventure camp, so teach them some skills, some life skills and stuff like that, so they're not too, for lack of a better word, citified. So that's what their goal is, and it's
isn't that in kind of Washington County? I thought that was in Washington County. Is it in Iron County?
It's in Iron County.
So where is it? It's
right off Vandenberg Road.
It's right on there, the turn or something, isn't it? I knew there was something there.
It's right there. This is it right here.
Yeah. It's right there.
So those houses you can see kind of spotted around there, that's what we'll take over. This is the well and tank right here, and their waterway comes up, and then Cedar City's spring line goes right through here. And so the connection that we'll have with Cedar City and the district would be somewhere close to this Bumblebee Road. But they have a connection up here to their place. It's a 6-inch line, and then they've
Where's
got-
Where's that draw that the creek runs down?
Right here.
Oh, the gravel, that white spot's the gravel pit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the gravel pit. Yep, this is the...
But that's not part of the Bumblebee.
Not part of the Bumblebee. They have a contract with Bumblebee that once their 70% houses that are built, they no longer will deliver water to them. So I think our biggest concern...
Those new houses that are just been built out there are the ones they won't deliver water to?
No.
Who's
they're delivering everything to the subdivision. This place called Henry's Place,
mm-hmm. That's the
they're
only
not going to deliver water to them because they're not part of the subdivision once they reach 70%.
Oh, okay.
But they are delivering.
And they're getting close to build out.
And we're also looking to take that system over, mm-hmm. which means we would take over the contract as well. They were curious if we would supply them water. And initially my response is going to be No, not unless you want to build a large booster pump station to supply yourself.
Now, further up that road going north, headed back towards 56,
yeah,
there's a girl's home out there and stuff. Where are they getting their water from?
They have a well. Do they? Yeah, you're talking kind of...
Where that road turns, that new road comes...
North and west, yeah, they have their own well. Mm-hmm.
That's not going to tie into where Cedar City would have to provide emergency water to that Henry's place, is it? If the Water Conservancy District takes that contract and we agree to provide emergency coverage out there, that's not going to extend some kind of liability for us to take care of him, is it?
Well, that's what we're talking about, whether or not the district would take or have them as a customer.
Sunset actually, I think, said they were terminated at the end of this year. It's set to terminate at the end of this year.
So then what, do they have their own well? What, are they going to have to drill their own well, those Henry people?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so like I mentioned, my answer would be no, we're not going to supply you water unless you put in some additional infrastructure, which would have to be a booster pump station. So there's just no way that we could supply them what they need on 20 pounds of pressure. Mm-hmm. Somebody flushed their toilet down below, they would be out of water. So.
Okay. All right, let's, unless there's further discussion on those three items, let's go to Wawa and Pine Valley update discussion. Let's go.
So big things happening out there. We filed our notice of intent on the 15th of July. Yeah, there's a Gantt chart that's was handed out on that project. You can see where we're at progress-wise.
I know you're not here, Kelly, in person, but whether it's you or Curtis that did this, thank you, because I was actually going to bring that up today if we could get a
update
for the next meeting.
This was, I asked Transcon to produce it, so this is from Transcon.
We'll print it out and roll it out on this table for you next time.
This is great.
So,
be long.
So is this, sorry, I know, Paul, I'm kind of interjecting.
Go ahead.
So because this has a lot less activities on this schedule, so is that because this is more of a summarized schedule, or is it that we're really done with that many activities? Because I remember the last one we had, it was like, I mean, it was like a whole bunch of activities.
So there's been a couple of Gantt charts. This is just strictly the EIS.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so the one you're probably referencing is the one that Kelly put together that is
okay.
A gamut of all this plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But we can have them produce one for you next meeting, too.
That'd be great if we could. I don't know if any of the other board members would be interested, but that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you make sure that Kelly got that. Okay. So task number four is the NOI. So we've published that, and that begins the scoping process. People have an opportunity to comment. That will be on August 5th. So I think it'd be important for all of you as well to be involved with that, to log on, because it'll be a virtual meeting. So log on August 5th at 6:30. We'll provide links and everything for that. But it'll be a chance to speak about the project. And it's all being put on by the BLM. But I feel really good about where we're at and the outcomes that we've been able to research and find out about through all of the surveys that we've done so far. So culturally, biologically, as well as hydraulically, everything is wrapping up to show a pretty favorable project. The biggest concern has been hydraulically, what impacts there might be, and then that lists off additional impacts that there may be. You know, there's what impacts might that happen biologically, but from the models and what we can see preliminary, it doesn't look like there's going to be significant impacts. And when there are impacts, we've got a good plan in place, mitigation plan, that hopefully answers and helps reassure people of the mitigating factors that will be in place in the event that there is impact. So basically what this means, where we filed this on July 15th, is come July 15th or probably August of next year, 2022, we will be finalizing the EIS, and that'll be published, and there'll be the same time next year, there'll be some of the final comments, and then we'll have our environmental process wrapped up.
Now, Paul, and maybe I'm just not understanding this, but the record of decision, administrative record, wouldn't that be in 21?
Sorry, yes. Thank you. I'm in the wrong year. 2020 has been a hard year. Yeah, 2021, a year.
Yeah.
1 year. Thanks, Spencer. There was a new administrative change that they can extend these out 2 years now, from what I understand. And so we're right on the verge of, we've been on the plan for 1 year, but the potentially it could be extended out to two. So we're kind of in a gray area of what might happen, but there, our BLM office is going to continue to try and push us so that we're done within 1 year. So any other questions or comments on that? Yeah. Yeah, Curtis, what's the current estimated budget?
I think it was $260 million.
Yep.
So we're at
$260 million.
Yep.
And will that be paid by taxpayers in
all of
Silver Valley, or what
is it like?
See.
Will be mainly the customers within revenue, and then it'll just have to be through sort of agreement.
But yeah, Cedar Valley.
And Grants.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify, it's not necessarily going to be just all taxpayer. It's going to be a number of different ways it's going to be funded, right?
Federal funding.
Yeah.
You know, state funding, Division of Water Resources, a lot of different.
Yeah.
These will probably be anticipated.
In fact, Curtis just sent me an email today. There was, based on current economic situation of things, there's an additional $7 billion that was put into the Water Infrastructure Improvement Act back in Washington, D.C. So times like this, that's the reason why we want to get our EIS completed, is because you never know when large amounts of federal funding might be available and we might be able to tap into that. So that's the reason why we're getting a project that's shovel ready for those instances when we might be able to tap in some of those large federal grant monies.
Yeah. That would be very good.
It did, yeah.
Well, that sounds very good, very good. Anything else on that?
Anything else, Curtis, on?
Sorry, on the, no, that's,
I mean,
we do have a site visit on the 28th. We're going to go look at sage grouse areas, if anybody's interested in sage grouse areas.
Yeah. That is one area that's kind of lagged behind. The representative from the BLM that was in charge of sage grouse took over an interim position in Kanab and continually said that they would get to the sage grouse plan, and they didn't, and now we're at the finish line. I mean, there's still time to get it done during the next several months of scoping and things like that, but there's that, and as well as spring snails and a couple of other things that we're just wrapping up the tail ends of those. The spring snails were something that were dependent upon the results that we got back from hydraulic sample or hydrology of the area and the modeling. But the sage grouse itself, we've got a pretty good plan. It's a new idea and concept plan as far as what we're going to do. Typically, when you disturb sage grouse habitat, you have is it a 3-to-1? Is that what their request was? Initially, I think it was a 3-to-1 replacement. So if you disturb 1 acre of sage grouse, you'd have to replace that with 3 acres of mitigation. And they do that by basically cutting down pinyon juniper. So you'd have to go cut down 3-to-1 acreage of pinyon juniper. So I researched some wetland habitat areas and sage grouse and found some good resources on sage grouse habitat, and relatively there's no really good wetland habitat for sage grouse out in Pine Valley, but that's something that we're able to provide with water. And so when we brought in the DWR and discussed some of these plants, they really thought that was great, that we could make what they call these mesoic habitats for sage grouse. So as part of our allocation for water from the Division of Water Rights, we have up to 2,000 acre feet that we can provide out there for mitigation for our project. I don't anticipate we'll deliver anywhere near that, but that will save us quite a bit in resources of having to do other type of mitigation of either cutting down trees or just basically providing funding. That's what a lot of other entities will do, is just give cash so that the BLM can go and cut down trees.
So. Well, that's great. Good news. All right, let's go to aquifer recharge. We got your figures in for this spring's runoff?
Yeah, they were in our last month's report. Yeah, I think they're in the minutes.
That's right. That's right.
But basically about 3,000 acre feet is what we recharged this year among all the entities there.
Okay.
Moving forward, we're going to install.
That's year to date?
Year to date.
For the irrigation season?
Year to date.
Okay.
From the first of January?
That was.
Water year starts 1st of October.
Yeah, that was water year. Sorry, not year to date. Water year to date. Let me just double check that in those minutes. Yeah, October 1st.
3,000
acre feet. So we had 1,600 acre feet in the Schmidt Pit, Western Rock, 719, Horse Alley, 254, Quitchapaw, 187, and Airport, 120. So, if any of you are religious followers of the Coal Creek stream gauge, we're reaching historic all-time lows for the current flows out of Coal Creek.
Right.
So,
well, it's
how long ago was it we was reaching all-time highs?
Last year.
So we're average now.
Yeah, we're good at hitting averages, aren't we?
20 just continues to progress.
Starting to analyze a little bit on our precipitation, and I haven't got it finalized, but for the last 4 months, I think typically we get it up to around 2.5 inches of rain, something like that, within these last few months, and we're like at 1/4 of an inch, so it's been dry. This morning we had a little nice little spout to wake up to.
Well, I'm cutting hay, so I'm doing everything I can.
Thank you.
All right. Now, General Manager's report. What else do you need to tell us, Paul?
I feel like I've pretty well covered a lot of things. So just see. Oh, I'd say in operations and kind of back with aquifer recharge. There's the few weirs we're going to build. We're also going to build another weir or another head gate and diversion for the Western Rock. So it's not so primitive. So it's not dropping Colin Cedar and having them drop cement blocks in the stream and trying to dam it off with just dirt. So we're going to do one. And the other issue with that is it doesn't accurately read with our SCADA. So we're going to put in an actual flume and head gate.
Good.
What else are we looking at operation-wise, Tracy?
There's so much going on.
Yeah, they just started, like I mentioned, they started pumping out the north end over to the south end today and or yesterday of Quitchapaw, so we can get that dried out. So between that and then we're kind of hoping it doesn't rain either so we don't get any flash floods to go out there. So we're on your side.
I'm on your good. I'm glad you're on my team. Okay, then let's, if nothing else, water conservation, anything to discuss about that?
We've just had a steady flow of water checks that we're trying to catch up on. So, if you know anybody, of course, we're doing that. That's available for the public, as well as promoting our local scapes for new landscapes of properties.
We still have a relationship with Candace?
We do. Yeah, I still got a good relationship with her. She still manages all of our water checks, so she has all of the software. We provide the staffing, the employees. We've got a couple of interns that will go out and do those for us.
Good.
So.
Good. Okay, 12 groundwater management plan. Is that still up at the state? Have they made any decisions, final decisions yet?
No final decisions and no words. Last I talked to Nathan Moses, he still wasn't able to get in touch with Teresa on what her plan was. So, I don't know if anybody's heard anything different.
Okay. Discussion water rights.
Yeah, I don't have any water rights issues.
Okay. All right, we're down to number 13, board members' reports. Anyone have a report?
I would just like to say that when I pulled into the parking structure today, Somi went out of his way to rub the purchase and driving of a brand new 1-ton Ford diesel in my face. And when I mentioned anything about it, I was told, and I quote, "But doesn't it sound good?"
Well, you hot rodded that new truck.
Well, what's your opinion? Does it sound good?
He's already said it, so don't make him do it again.
Yeah. Well, the only reason they do that is because they know my opinion of one-ton diesel pickup trucks.
Right.
But I am just very, very impressed that we have the largest stock pickup truck made by a manufacturer in America or anywhere else.
That's something we can hang our hat on.
In the back of this huge, enormous pickup truck is the smallest toolbox ever made by anybody. And I remember sitting in here when the conversation, when I was complaining about why do we need a 1-ton truck? Well, our tools, our little truck won't haul our tools. So now we have the biggest truck with the little toolbox following the littlest truck with the big toolbox. So I still haven't figured it out. So.
We'll keep you on your toes.
But it looks nice. And it's a good crew using it, so that makes up for its downfall.
All Okay, anything else? All right, thank you. engineering report. You got anything, Curtis or Kelly?
Just a couple things. Paul already touched on the WIPIA monies that just got up and announced and released. The other thing, I was going to touch on this, the check shown cliffs. We did pre-qualification to generate more interest, right, and we're going to go to construction on this. We had 7 local contractors in that pre-qualification package. We went through those today, all of them got the criteria, so when, as soon as we can get the biological assessment approved through Forest Service, then we'll be ready to go.
Fish and Wildlife.
We'll be ready to go and bid the project with those 7 that are pre-qualified. So I was glad to see that we had so many come in that are interested in this project.
Good.
Now hopefully they fully bid.
All right, that closes, that finishes up our regular agenda. We do need to have a closed session, so.
I'll make a motion we close our regular meeting and open it, go to a closed session for discussion of imminent litigation or acquiring real property and water rights.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
Yeah, mine said stand up.
Somebody want to second that?
Hold on real quick. Oh. That was that Jim that was on line. I was wondering if he needed to say something.
He's with Cedar Highlands. He just wanted to hear
update on the Cedar Highlands?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Mandy.
Okay, we got a motion to move into a closed session. Somebody want to second it?
I'll make a motion that we close a regular session.
Just second my motion.
Oh, did you already say?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He'd been waiting.
So your motion included closing this session?
And oh, yes.
Okay, I'll second that, sorry.
All in favor, Sam?
Aye.
Well, he wasn't here at 6:30.
All right, thank you.
No.
Thank you, guys.
We were distracted by our electronics.
You should have just let me go, and then I would have looked like more of an idiot.
Then I would have seconded you.
Now, real careful going out of the parking structure.
Pretty fast.
Yeah.
I'm getting later, more efficient.
That's right. It's a good one. Keep grabbing that.
Give me one second.
When I pulled in, Paul.
What's that?
Huh?
Yeah.
When I pulled in, they were out there, and